respect Negro. Mm-hmm. And it was, I was horrified when I entered the classroom as a teacher, and to be working with Negroes, and to discover that I was totally incorrect at that point in time, that I was to speak of them as blacks, not Negroes. One of my white co-workers corrected me immediately. You mustn't say Negroes, black. We don't say Negro anymore.
So when y'all were up north, when the Montgomery bus boycott started, did y'all hear about that? Was that a big...
Yes, we heard
about it. Thing to y'all?
Of course, well, by then you had television and all that.
Well, it helped because one of our good friends up there that we buddied around with, that
was in
Montgomery.
Oh, really?
We had a day-by-day, blow-by-blow of what was going on directly from his relatives.
So. Oh, really? So did y'all talk about that a lot?
Well, yeah, we did in general. There was a lot of discussion about it. And like I say, up there where you never had such a thing as blacks sitting in the back of a bus or anything, they couldn't understand, you know, what's the big deal. And it's just all in what you're used to.
Right.
You're brought up. You live this way for years. You don't know any differently. So.
What else do we have about
this? Of course, in a little town in Texas, we didn't worry about riding with the blacks in the bus because we didn't have buses. So
how about on that same thing about the civil rights stuff, how about 57, the Little Rock school desegregation? Was that a... Did y'all hear about that?
Oh, yes.
Well...
We heard about that.
But still, well, we were apart from it,
living in Pittsburgh. And
so did y'all...
Like I say, most people up there wouldn't understand what's the big deal about, you know, because they didn't have such a thing.
Well, how about y'all? I mean, since you had come from the South, from Texas, were things segregated in Texas?
Yes, and that was a surprise to me, having come from Omaha, Nebraska, to see water fountains that said black, white.
No, it didn't say black.
It said
white and color.
That's right, it was white.
And so y'all went from that, and you went up north, and everybody was used to being around one another. Mr. Post was saying when you were out of the room that when you were down south, that y'all hung out and you liked individual black people.
That's what I, with regard to.
But then
to
up north,
family.
Where I have, you know, the history books and all say the north was so good to blacks and stuff, he said, you know, you didn't talk to black people when you were up there.
Didn't have any association, but didn't have reason or occasion to. In our environment,
well,
it was a white environment, and we were not living in terribly costly housing.
No,
we were poor, hand to mouth. Well,
going to work in those days is living in an apartment in an attic or somewhere, third floor apartment. Just, you know, students, fresh out of school, trying to get a start. We lived anywhere except what you would call a nice area. It was principally an industrialized city in those days. You didn't live out. The suburbs were full of individual housing, but there were no large apartment complexes or anything like we know today. People had places for rent or rented houses where they had gone, just like we would move out to the suburbs, and they might have a little house or cottage or something they would rent out to tenant. So it was a big melting pot, but still the whites were in one area, all the blacks were in another.
When you talk about Pittsburgh there being a lot of blacks and it being industrial, you were saying in Lincoln you still don't think there are many blacks. Is Lincoln not industrial at all?
Very. It's more rural.
So that's probably why, because
the blacks
came north for the industrial during the war to come work.
And the ones in the south, Alabama, Texas,
yeah.
sharecroppers.
Okay, one other thing about the 50s that I thought was interesting was, and this, again, this was right when I was getting out of college, the AFL-CIO merger. How did y'all feel about labor unions, or did you have any feelings about labor unions? Did they affect y'all or any of your friends when you moved up north?
They had an effect on the industry, but I was astonished that the AFL-CIO would merge.
Why?
If they would have anything to do with it, because I had always thought they were competitive. Very concealing, but things got worse in that state. That surprised me. And then who was it? Walter Ruther? Wasn't he? Which one was he?
Well, you say it's surprised.
The CIO, and who was the coal mining guru? It was very. It depended on which side of the union you were.
So why do you think they merged? I mean, in your opinion, what do you think was
the
reason?
I think it was to their mutual benefit. Not
were
so
they
much
not
for the workers, but for the hierarchy of the
union. Hierarchy of the unions. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. One, I think, predominantly was I don't know which one, but having a bunch of socialist leaning dupes, maybe a communist or a pinko, as old McCarthy would say here or there. I don't know whether it was the CIO or what, but I don't think in the old days the AFL and the CIO, one was much larger than the other, you know, in percentage. I think one was the administration of one was as far as the rest of the public or the public at large was concerned a little more suspect as not being patriotic and more a bunch of socialists.
Really?
Well, that's but I don't know. That was really enough really what interested me at the time. So I
here's an interesting one.
They're all interesting. I'm just trying to go back now and try to remember.
How about Castro coming into power in 59?
Well, that was kind of a turnaround, because at first we thought he was our ally. And again,
everybody thought he was a good guy. And again, it made me the media made it out to be a good guy than he really ever was.
But was the media that much consequence in those days?
I don't know. I'm not sure that that's the problem.
The media tries to slant to my way of thinking. You really need to learn to be a discerning person
to
sift through what the media has to say.
As far as Castro's proclamation.
Which was?
Well, he was going to get rid of the Batista, which was a corrupt dictatorial power. Cuban. He controlled Cuba, controlled the economy, the legitimate economy, the illegitimate economy, and everything else. And the people were just sick and tired of it. If you would get better as Cubans about Castro. I think Castro even at the time, for what he proclaimed he was going to do, and that was get rid of corruption in government, the Batista regime, and everything else. He had a hell of a lot of Cuban soul, for that matter, that once he took over, once he finally got in power, everyone realized what he was, for what he really was nothing more than a communist. He was a on the order of the background's different, but it was the same end result in that he just had visions of grandeur. He was a megalomaniac.
like Adolf Hitler.
So even the humans that had supported him immediately realized what a damn mistake they had made. So,
how about?
But he was, I think he's just another black mark on the history of mankind.
And still is.
And still is.
How about?
I think it's not going to last much longer.
How about in 60? Two very interesting things, I think. They're totally different, though. The birth control pill was first marketed.
Okay, and I used it.
To a young couple with two children already.
Right after Happy.
I mean,
your fellow grade school, I took the pill. But I was off of it within 2 years because of the side effects, severe headaches, depression, and of course the possibility of blood clots. And today I am observed because I had taken the pill, and
because of that
observation for the blood clots.
At that early time, it was causing a lot of problems. Was that, do you think the birth control pill, you know, the big, like, crazy sexual mania that went on with all the drugs and stuff in the 60s, you think the birth control pill kind of enabled that to happen, or do you think it had anything to do?
It might have, but not among our circle of friends. Not among the persons with whom we associated.
Because back then you didn't even talk about things like that, did you? I mean,
Within our little group, but not men and women.
Just the wives.
We each family had one car, and we carpooled. The men carpool so that we have a car on a certain day. My day to have a car, I think, was Wednesday, or I don't recall exactly how it happened.
Really? But,
oh yes.
And so did you just have like neighbors? There were several women, and y'all just arranged it to where each of you would have a car.
Well, within the company. This is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we have no family, and the only persons we really know are within Westinghouse Corporation. And our neighbors where we lived, my neighbors didn't like me too well because when I opened my mouth, it was immediately found that I was Southern. And at first on the telephone, it was thought that I was black. And then when we sought housing, so I switched to Nebraska real fast. I suddenly reacquired my Midwestern way of speaking. Most of my Southern accent was a fake anyway. So I suddenly became Midwestern all over again and spoke like a Nebraskan. But then the second thing in my neighborhood was that I was educated, that I had had a college degree and had taught school. And among the folks in the neighborhood, it was blue collar, middle class, and there was tremendous resentment for a professional in their midst. He had a college degree and was an engineer. And these were the folks who worked, say, the blast furnaces. We lived next door to a postman. And it took a great deal of effort on our part to be a part of that community, of that little neighborhood.
Wow.
And we did become close friends with a number of them, and we corresponded for years after we left. But in the beginning, it was very difficult.
They just thought y'all were hoity-toity because you were educated?
I would assume. Well, and the language, when one has been to school, and the way one speaks, and then,
right.
And then of course, there's the Pittsburghers have quite a way of speaking. It's the same as being in Texas, and there's a vernacular in Texas, there's a vernacular in Pittsburgh, and it has nothing to do with education, that's just the way you talk, and so you have to learn to be a part of that, be flexible. But we in Westinghouse, with the carpooling and the grocery shopping and those kinds of things, we worked together. There were several couples who didn't have cars, for example. No cars.
What's your mouth open for?
When you started out.
Have a car?
If you were lucky to have a car and no TV set, you had one little Philco radio. That's all we had. And he earned 475, 460. What did you earn a month?
What, the first time up there?
Uh-huh.
370
a month. Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
when
okay.
When we went to the grocery store, we bought a month's supply of groceries for $30. And we felt that we were really flush because we could go to the grocery store and buy groceries.
Buy a whole month's worth of stuff every day.
Well, okay,
and,
okay.
And
how
without
much?
That being payday. You know, everybody went to the store on payday, but because of his income, we could go to the grocery store in the middle of the
month. 2 or 3 days later.
Y'all were rich, man.
We were, by comparison, we lived quite well.